So it actually was not a silent night. There was blood on the ground. You could hear a woman crying in the alleyway that night in the streets of David's town. The stable was not clean, the cobblestones were cold, but little Mary, full of grace, with the tears upon her face, with no mother's hand to hold. It was a labor of pain, it was a cold sky above, but for the girl on the ground in the dark, every beat of her beautiful heart was a labor of love. So I cannot take credit for that wonderful, those wonderful lyrics. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs, written by Andrew Peterson and Jill Phillips. And I really love the song because I think it contrasts some of our sentimental views of Christmas sometimes. When we hear songs, when things are just a little too clean, things are just a little too easy, things are just not real life, when we sometimes, some of the songs we could sing about Christmas. But the glory of Christmas is that truly God is with us. That truly He came down, the God of the universe came down into our mess, and He got messy too. It was not all silent and easy, no crying. There were many tears. So this is the glory of Christmas, that truly God is with us. And as we've already said, it's a special day today. It only happens so often that we can celebrate Christmas on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, the day we remember that Jesus rose from the dead. So today, in our short time together, we're going to really focus on this phrase, God with us. That's really what I want us all to have ringing in our ears and our hearts today. Hope we can all take it with us throughout this day and the rest of our lives. This amazing promise of Emmanuel, God with us. Can everyone say that with me? God with us. All right, good job, Thomas. I heard you there, buddy. So let's take a look at that phrase piece by piece. So first, God with us. What word would you use if you could only use one word to describe God? It's a good question. I don't claim to have the only one right answer, but perhaps a good answer would be holy. God is holy. We have a hard time really comprehending the holiness of God. So maybe these pictures from the Old Testament can help us understand. The holiness of God could be understood like a bush that's burning in the desert, but it's not consumed. Remember, Moses took off his sandals to be on the holy ground. We could understand the holiness of God as these angelic creatures, these warriors of light, shielding their eyes in the presence of the holy God, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of His glory." In the Old Testament, we see time and time again, God had to warn His people before they would come into His presence that if it wasn't in the exact way that He prescribed under His mercy and grace, that they would die in His presence. This is the holiness of God. He dwells in unapproachable light, it says in 1 Timothy 6. So the shock of Christmas is that this God stepped down into His creation. The God who's outside of time, the God who speaks the whole universe into creation, came down into His creation at the first Christmas. One of my favorite book series, you may know, is The Chronicles of Narnia. And the last book, The Last Battle, the children are once again entering this magical world of Aslan, the lion, who is the creator and the savior of Narnia. And in this last book, The Last Battle, there's all kinds of interesting things happening. But one of the most fascinating was there's this shed that's there, and many people are being deceived by the false Aslan, the false lion, who's speaking all these lies. But inside the shed, it turns out that there is a portal that takes people into another world. And this is the eternal home of Aslan and all of his people. And so one of the characters says, "Yes, the inside of the shed is bigger than the outside." And then Queen Lucy says, "Yes, in our world too, a stable once held something inside it that was bigger than our whole world." So when Jesus, this little baby, the eternal Son of God, came down into the manger, what was in that manger was bigger than the whole world. This is the amazing reality of Christmas. The eternal Son of God, who always existed, became a baby, a vulnerable baby in a dirty stable. So this is God of God with us. This is the God that's with all Christians. So God with us. So this little word, this little preposition, with, communicates a togetherness, a union, a closeness, an intimacy, a connection. This is why Christ and the church, the relationship between Christ and the church, is called a marriage union. There's nothing closer than a marriage in our world, and the relationship between God and his people is described as a marriage. God with us. And what God has joined together, no man can separate. Praise God for that. And so, God with us, the last word we consider is us. And if we're honest with ourselves, how can this God be with us? I mean, who are we? If we're really honest, we are sinners before a perfectly holy God. God's eyes has purer eyes than to look on evil, and he cannot look at wrong. So how can he even look at us, let alone be with us and be intimately connected with us? The Bible describes us as rebels against God, as proud and stubborn, having a hard heart to him, unfeeling toward our God, that we think we don't need him. So how can God be with us? Well, the good news of Christmas is this: fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So there's a hint in the name of Jesus. In the passage we read, the angel said, "She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." So the name Jesus means God saves. God saves. That's how God can be with us. Because God saves. As great as the chasm between an infinitely, perfectly holy God and sinful, rebellious us, as great as that chasm is, that's how great the salvation that Jesus accomplishes for all who believe in him, for all who come to him. He will save his people from their sins. So let me remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel, that this holy God and our sin has separated us from him. We are under his judgment for our sin, and it is a just judgment. It would be just for God to condemn all of us. But in the love of God, he sent his son so that all who come to him would be saved. This is the divine dilemma solved. The only way a holy God can uphold his justice and a loving God can show his mercy and grace to sinners, that the baby born in the manger must die. The baby came, the perfect son, came to die for us. Jesus died a sinner's death on the cross, and Jesus did not stay dead. On the third day, he rose again. He is alive. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses. Jesus is alive. And many of us here who call on his name, we can say, he's alive because he changed my life. Jesus makes us new, doesn't he? Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So Jesus, as he conquered death, he offers life to whoever comes to him. And really, what he's offering us is the promise of Christmas. He offers us himself, God with us. That's what he is offering us. So let's continue to think of this glorious reality. Think of the glory that was there in the manger that first Christmas. And we can think of the price that our Jesus would pay for us to fulfill the promise of Christmas. So as you look at Jesus, the baby Jesus, as you go down to kiss his tender brow, we know that he is God with us, that he understands every concern we might have in our life. He understands concern for our families as they go through trials or if they go down the wrong path. And Jesus, the baby Jesus, would grow up and that brow would be bloodied on the crown of thorns as he paid the price that our proud minds deserve for rejecting him. As you look in the manger, you can hold the little hands of Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal God. And we know he's God with us. He understands our toil and our labor, our weariness from our work, because he would have calloused hands as a carpenter for 18 years of his life. And those hands would be pierced to pay the price for our godless work that we do, the godless work of our hands. We can go down and tickle his tiny feet, the feet of the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And he understands our weariness as well, as his beautiful feet would tire as he would walk from village to village preaching good news. And those feet would bleed to cleanse us for all of our going after false gods. And then bend down and hear the tiny beating heart of the eternal Son of God, born that first with us. The heart of Jesus pumping in perfect love for his heavenly Father. The heart of Jesus beating in perfect rhythm of the love of God for all of the world that would reject him. Nothing but love and truth and grace toward those who would reject him. The heart of Jesus eternally overflowing, eternally gushing, looking for an outlet to spill his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his steadfast love on sinners like you and like me, on his lost children, so that we could come close into his arms and know him as God with us. And this great heart of Jesus burst under the wrath of God Almighty on the cross. So the promise of Christmas is God with us. It was a costly promise to Jesus. It cost him everything. But it's a free gift to all who believe in him. It was costly to Christ. It's free to you and to me. So would you come and adore him today? Would you come and know God with us? Let every heart prepare him room. He gave himself for you and for me. So come and receive him today. Receive Jesus. So if you have Jesus, this is true for you. God with us. When we lose our jobs, or if we just lose our way in this life, God is still with us. When we suffer through cancer, and it's coming, God is still with us. When we suffer through doubts and despair of the dark night of our soul, God is still with us. When we are abandoned by our friends and we're lonely, God is still with us. When we're fearful about the future, there's a lot of those different fears that we all have. Even then, when the worst comes to pass, God is with us. So whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, whatever will happen to us in the future, the blood-bought promise of Christmas is God is with us. Hallelujah. God is with us. So, O church, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So as we close, I have two applications for us this Christmas. As Jesus has given us his heart, he gave us everything, let us give him our hearts fully, unreservedly, devoted like a bride devoted to her husband. Let's give him all of our trust. Let's give him all of our worship. Let's give him all of our obedience. He saved us that we could commune with him and be close to him, God with us. So in 2023, would you make this your resolution by the grace of God, that you would spend more time communing with this God who is there for you, the God who is with us? We would do that together as a church. You would do that individually. Would it be the year of being in God's word, communing with him? Would it be the year of being in prayer, corporately and individually? And we'll give us opportunities as we have chances to read the Bible in the year, have new Bible reading plans and things like that. What a joy it is that God is with us and we can spend time with him here in this life. So that's our first application. Give him all of your heart, church. Our second application is this. Graced with this amazing promise, God with us, can we keep that news to ourselves? Are we just supposed to just be so thankful and not tell anyone else about this good news, this news that God loves us, that he sent his son to die for us, that there is a way to come back to God, to avoid judgment, to be saved forever and ever, and have eternal joy? So let's not keep it to ourselves this year, Grace Fellowship. Let's go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. And as we go, our Lord Jesus is with us. He himself promised at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, "Behold, I am with you always, 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 even to the end of the age." So Merry Christmas, Grace Fellowship. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he is always with us. When we doubt, when we're in pain, when we're happy, when we forget him, he is still with us. For all who come to him by faith, Lord. So would you draw us in closer to your Son? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.